This is the Church Multiplication Collective Podcast, a podcast designed to help you multiply like never before.
Hey, everybody. I'm your host, Ed Love, and I oversee the Church Multiplication Collective, which is an intentional community of Wesleyan leaders committed to discovering, developing, and deploying workers for the Lord's harvest. Try saying that 10 times fast. Today, I'm going to be sharing with you a talk that was given at our Wesleyan pre-conference at Exponential East 2017. And I just want to take a moment to let you know Exponential East 2018 is just around the corner, and you need to register really soon. February 26th through March 1st is the event, and you won't want to miss it. You can find out all the information, hotel, lodging information, at wesleyan.org/exponential. We also have discounted registration rates, so you want to go there. wesleyan.org/exponential. Would love to see you there. Today I'm going to give you this teaching, a 9-minute talk by Corey Dorian, who is planting a church in multiple neighborhoods out in Portland, Oregon. And his talk is entitled, How Incarnational Living Leads People to Jesus. It's so good. So here's Corey.
Come on up, brother. There you are. And are you a millennial? You're close like me, right on the edge.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're a millennial, man.
Yeah.
So
I use an Apple computer.
Yeah, that counts for something. Corey's going to speak to us. He's planting out in Portland right now, Oregon. How incarnational living leads people to Jesus. Lead us to Jesus, brother.
All right. If I could, just before we jump in, could I have everyone or anyone who's got a Bible close, John 17, verses 15 to 19, that's where we're going to land, okay? So if we could just have that ready beforehand, because we only got 9 minutes. Okay. How incarnational living leads people to Jesus. What would it take for you to join the Church of Scientology? What would it take for you to become a Hindu? What would it take for you to become a Muslim? Or worse, what would it take for you to become a Baptist? The year before my parents came to faith, my father's business was spiraling towards bankruptcy. My mom was drinking so much she was blacking out weekly. And there was this couple, Alan and Lois Andrews were their names, and they started hanging out with our family. They incarnated themselves into our world. And over the course of a year, they began inviting our family over to their house. They allowed their good Christian kids to play with my sister and I, and they talked to my parents about life and faith and the things they were walking through. And one night, on the same night, my parents gave their lives to Jesus. Not because of a website, not because of a flyer in the mail, but because Alan and Lois practiced incarnational living. And I think this is at the core of Wesleyan holiness doctrine, as Wesleyan holiness theology, is this idea that God called us to be holy as he is holy. And the way that God was holy when people were not finding him was through incarnation. Be holy as I am holy. I've given my entire life to becoming good at standing on a stage and doing things that allow people to call me a pastor. I've worked hard on speaking. I've worked hard on music. I've had tons of opportunities to stand in front of large crowds weekly and be a pastor. And then God placed me in Portland, Oregon, where nobody cares. And God has been teaching us that launching a service is not going to reach a post-Christian culture. Portland is about as likely to come to my church because of a flyer in a mail or an advertisement on a billboard as you would show up at a Scientology church because of a flyer in the mail or an advertisement on the billboard. Welcome to post-Christian America. So what we're doing in Portland is we are practicing faithful presence, and this is our formula. It's real simple. Faithful presence over time. Faithful presence over time. We are moving into neighborhoods and training up people to be missionaries in their neighborhoods and their networks. And what has brought us to this place, as we think about post-Christian America, I want to call us as pastors and as leaders to think about our models of church and think about our models of discipleship. And if your model of church works, where does it end? Does it end with you extracting people from the world, or does it end with you incarnating people into the world? If it works and it's extraction, this country will continue to become post-Christian and increasingly so, and our churches will go away. We cannot have models of discipleship that lead to extraction. They must lead to incarnation, because God has called us to be holy in the same way that He is holy. Could someone in the room read John 17, verses 15 to 17? Someone that is loud. That should be most of you, pastors. Go ahead. John 17, verses 15 to 17. Anyone got it? Someone else want to read that? John 17, verses 15 to 17. Jesus praying to the Father after what I think is the greatest sermon in all of Scripture. Not the Sermon on the Mount, but the sermon at the table. And then Jesus goes to the Father. I'm not asking that you take them out of this world, but you keep them safe from the evil one. They don't belong to this world just as I don't belong to this world. Make them holy in truth. Your word is truth. As you, in the same way that you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. I have made myself holy. I've made myself holy on their behalf, that they would also be made holy in truth. We cannot unleash a holiness movement if we do not start with incarnation. We cannot start a Jesus-centric movement if we do not start with incarnation. The way of Jesus and the way to Jesus is incarnation. The first question must stop being about sustainability and model when we plant churches. Our first questions must be, who is my neighbor? Who is Jesus? What is God doing in this place? And how do I get involved? We must resist the urge to continue to create church as an industrial complex and embrace our holiness theology and look for how God is making things new all around us. We can't do that from an ivory tower. We must be both for our neighbor and with them. Jesus calls all of us to love our neighbor. Since making that statement, there has been all kinds of debate over who our neighbor is. We may not know the right answer to that question, but certainly we know the wrong one. When Jesus asks you, who is your neighbor, the answer must not be, no one is. Your neighbor has a name, and you should know it. Pastor, you cannot lead people to live incarnationally if you don't have friends who do not know Jesus. Our goal must not be to get to every area code. Our goal needs to be in every area code. It's about faithful presence in every area code. Incarnation leads people to Jesus. It's how it started, it's how you got there, and it's how the future of post-Christian America is going to get there too. Welcome to post-Christian America. We've got to change the way we think about church.